If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good Friday evening. You are listening to Daily Roll Call. I'm your host, Kathy Henners, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. I hope everybody had a great week and are home safe and sound if you live where storms are occurring. And I think that's probably just about everywhere. Ice storms in the south, snow up north. So hopefully you're home and you're kind of all cuddled in and going to listen to the show. And get your phone out, because I think you're going to want to call and make some comments on some of the subjects that we're going to be talking about. We have a few subjects that I hope get your blood boiling, because they better. We can no longer afford to be apathetic or uncaring or head in the sand about what is happening to our country. We say this every week, and you know, if I just reach one person who will get it, then we're doing okay. And judging by the emails we got this week, I think we are reaching some people. And hopefully they are listening tonight, because they had requested, actually a few had requested that we could go into a little more depth regarding the OIC, which is the Organization of the Islamic Conference, and blasphemy laws. So we shall do that. I want to hear, though, as we get going on this subject and how it's affecting us or how it's going to affect us, I want to hear your thoughts, and whether you want to call in and just vent or ask a question, whatever you want to do. So don't forget to just call us, 718-305-7176. Do not be shy. The other topic that seemed to have people interested in, you can look at the document that we're going to be talking about, the UN Resolution 1618. That is on my website, dailyrollcall.com. Just go under the document tabs, and that is there. So if you want to take a look at that while we're talking about this or whenever, it's there. So the other subject that seems to have piqued some interest is a story that I wrote on my website, and it is about a retired American soldier and his license plate. And then, of course, what I have uncovered during, you know, researching his story a little bit, what I have uncovered that clearly shows the mindset of some of our elected officials, even judges. So that's going to be one of our topics this evening. And I sent an email to the gentleman's attorneys, and I have not heard from them. So I don't know that they just don't represent him anymore or what the case is there. But certainly if anyone is aware, when we get talking about who this gentleman is, if you're aware of him or you are him, please give us a call so we can talk to you about this. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So that's basically what's on our plate for tonight. I need to start off, though, before we get into the blasphemy laws and the OIC and what they are, I need to explain to you briefly what Sharia law is. For those of you that don't know what Sharia law is, and you're hearing this term more and more and more. You know, it's all over the news every day. We hear it more and more, whether it's something that is happening at a school or whatever. But Sharia law is becoming a household term, unfortunately. The meaning of Sharia law, it's an Arabic word for which means the path or the way, but it also is Islamic law. So it involves detail of all possible human acts, all right? And then they divide them into what is halal, which means permissible, in haram or harem, which is not permissible, which is illegal. Okay, and we've talked about this a little bit before over the last several weeks. You know, we've been breaking down the Muslim Brotherhood Manifesto and, you know, Sharia law and everything. But for those that haven't been either listening or paying attention, halal and haram are very important, two very important words to understand. It is perfect, or so they say it is, and it is eternal. It is binding on all individuals, all Muslims, and eventually non-Muslims, and its society. So if you are a non-Muslim, you are a kafir, or a kafir, as Dr. Bill Warner likes to say, or an infidel, or worse, an apostate, which just simply means that you changed your religions. You left the religion of Islam, and you became an apostate, which is punishable by death, just so you want to know that. All right, so now that you have that down, let's look at the OIC and then how it all fits with Sharia law, and certainly not the Constitution. I think that's something that you're going to see that it is extremely antithetical to the way that we live here, to our Constitution. So this is why it's not a good thing. All right, so the OIC, which is, again, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which right there should tell you something, because I know of no Islamic anything that is cooperative about anything, so that should give you a little clue as to what this is all about. It is an international organization which has 57 member states, and the organization, they say that they are the collective voice of the Muslim world. And they work to safeguard and protect the interests of the Muslim world in the spirit of promoting international peace and harmony. Oh, my God. If you know what I, you know, if you know my beliefs, you know, right now I'm probably choking. they are a permanent delegation to the United Nations, and they are the largest international organization outside of the United Nations. And I will say that it is predominantly Middle Eastern. It is predominantly Islamic. So there you have the largest international association outside of the United Nations starting to make rules for us here in this country. All right. They have 57 members, 56 of which are considered member states of the United Nations. Okay, so they belong to both. Some of them, especially in West Africa, are large Muslim populations, but not necessarily Muslim populations or majority countries. A few countries with significant Muslim populations, such as Russia and Thailand, are observer states, while others, like India and Ethiopia, are not members at all. The population of the OIC member state is over 1.4 billion as of 2008. I can only surmise from 2008, you know, this many years later, how many more there are as far as number goes. And the number, by the way, of Islamists in this country and Muslims in this country is growing rapidly. It is beginning to be the number one fastest growing religion on earth. So that's something to think about. So the OIC is now you've got that. It belongs to the United Nations, and it is a very large organization. The gentleman that is the envoy for the United States in the OIC, his name is Rashid Hussein. And, yes, you can imagine that I have found a Muslim Brotherhood connection to Mr. Hussein. But he served in the White House Counsel's Office. His role as an envoy has advised the administration on policy issues related to the Muslim world, go figure, in actually becoming more and more relevant. January 2009, Hussein was named the Deputy Associate Counsel to President Barack Obama. You know what? I hear silence. And he has served as a trial attorney at the U.S. Department of Justice with Eric Holder, and as associate counsel to the Obama presidential transition team. So he's been around for a while. Obama seems to like him and trust him. You know, of course, there's a bump in the road here. In 2010, he acknowledged that in 2004, He had been very critical and outspoken regarding some procedural issues in the prosecution of a terrorist here in the United States named Sami Aryan, who has pled guilty to funding terrorists. So, you know, this guy, there's a lot more on him, obviously, but he is not the subject tonight. But I just wanted you to get the feeling of, you know, who is our special envoy to this OIC. So, yeah, he's got those relationships going on, and it drives me crazy, as I'm sure you know. So let's start with how this all happened. In July of 2011, a couple years ago, the OIC Secretary General and our favorite, Hillary Clinton, co-chaired what they called a high-level ministerial implementing Resolution 1618. And that is a number that you totally need to start paying attention to, UN Resolution 1618. If you don't care to look at my documents, which are off their website, then look it up yourself. It's really important that you research this stuff. The goal of this meeting was to encourage governments to implement it in order to address the issues of intolerance, discrimination, and stigmatization, I cannot say that word, on the basis of religion or belief. All right, so my first problem with that is intolerance. You know, since when is being intolerant against a law? It certainly isn't in the Constitution. So when is that, you know, against the law? Before I go on, I just want to tell you that conservativenationmedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee, they're spreading all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check them out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. That's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. All right, so let's get further into this. I just said, you know, how is intolerance against the law? If I don't want to tolerate you, I don't have to, okay? But anyway, that's just my first bone with this whole thing. So Hillary Clinton is there. She's with representatives of 26 governments and 4 international organizations. They all met down in Washington, D.C. in December of 2011 to discuss the implementation of this. And this is the name of the law, okay? So you might have to record this one because you'll never remember this. But the actual name of the law, what the resolution is Combating Intolerance, Negative Stereotyping, and there's that word again, stigmatizing of and discrimination, incitement to violence and violence against persons based on religion or beliefs. Are you kidding me? Whoa. Okay. So that being said, it is also known as the defamation of religion law. So that is a mouthful, and you'll probably never hear me refer to that as that again. It is the defamation of religion law. And you know what? I'm going to take this caller before I go any further, just in case there's a real quick question. Hi, you're on Daily Roll Call.
This is Ron. How are you?
I'm good, Ron. How are you? From Georgia, right?
That's me. The only reason I'm calling in is because I can't get sound outside of the phone call. So I just have got a hold and to see what you're talking about. So maybe you want to talk a while before you let me talk so I can sort of get into conversation.
I will do that. I will pick up. And thank you, Ron, and I'll get back to you in a little bit. Nice to have you.
All right.
All right. Okay. Just too, so I can let you know, if you're having problems, well, you wouldn't know if you're having problems hearing me if you can't hear me. But if you know someone that is trying to log in, have them open up where it says in another browser. That usually will take care of any problems. So real quick, I got another caller on the line here, so let's see what that caller has to say. Hi, you're on Daily Roll Call.
Well, this is Robert.
Hey, Robert. How are you? Well, you're early tonight.
Yeah, well, I am kind of out and shopping around and doing things tonight in the snowstorm that we've got here, and I thought that I'd call in and, you know, make sure I didn't forget. So I was just kind of sitting
That's
on
okay.
Yeah, and I was essentially calling to see if your show was still on, and I didn't push one to get online or anything, but I'm just going to listen until my time came to talk to you.
Oh, all right. Well, then I'm going to put you right back on, and if I pick up again later to hear if you're angry and you have anything to say. Okay?
Okay. Sounds
all
good
right,
to me.
All right. Thanks, Robert. All righty. Mm-hmm. All right. So we got a couple of guys hanging on the line here who I know Ron. Ron has called in before about an issue, and I think I can get Ron going pretty good. All right, so we're talking about this conference that was held in December 2011 with Hillary Clinton and the rest of this organization here, talking about why they need this conference was to be basically because religious freedom and freedom of expression, she agreed, are our highest values. They're enshrined in the Constitution, which they seem to keep forgetting, and it provides our lives, so she says, with meaning and context. It is fundamental to who we are. Absolutely true. The participants were from a diverse set of religious communities, and then, of course, you have your civil rights advocates and then participants from the Department of Homeland Security. I'm not sure how all these agencies fit in. You know, if you figure that out, please let me know, okay? So you've got your religious communities, your civil rights advocates, and then your Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice, just in case you say something wrong, all around this roundtable. The implementation meeting focused on two elements of the steps set forth in Resolution 1618, and they are prohibiting discrimination based on religion or belief, and this gets me, the training government officials, including how to implement the outreach to religious communities. And then they all agreed that their task was to keep the discussion focused on implementing the specific steps under 1618 rather than broadening it to other measures not included. So you've got presenters and participants in this interactive session, including some law enforcement, and then your anti-discrimination experts, which drives me crazy. Why this stuff all has to be part of the government is beyond me. A lot of countries that were present have specialized units in their justice ministries or departments or their prosecutor general's office, whichever they go by, which have proven effective only in imposing basically civil, sometimes criminal, but usually civil penalties against those found to be engaging in violence or the discrimination on the basis of religion. So this is all about religion. This isn't about anything else. This is about religion. So the effective national security policy and protection of human rights are mutually reinforcing. All right, so now you've got security policies and human rights, and they're all coming together to make these wonderful, wonderful, you know, plans for us. Law enforcement, so they say, now law enforcement, and remember, I'm retired law enforcement, so this gets under my skin. Law enforcement needs the cooperation of religious and other communities to fight violent extremism. I agree to a point. I don't need necessarily to kiss the butts of religious people in the community to get my intelligence or my information. Now, I'm saying not always. Now, there comes a time when sometimes you have to do what you have to do to get that information. And this is all going hand in hand with what is happening in New York City, how the Muslims are demanding to know what mosques the NYPD has been entrenched in for surveillance purposes. And how do you feel about that? I mean, do you think that we should be in religious institutions, you know, surveilling and listening to their sermons, which makes a huge difference in whether or not they're a radical mosque? So I do. I think they belong in there, especially some of the mosques in New York City, the more radical mosques. I think we have every right to be in there. And plus the fact that I've already said I don't think Islam is a religion, so it's not a religious institution anyway. So as this meeting progressed, they, you know, they all got up to speak and had their issues and what they thought should be, you know, happening and this and that. And to those folks that are calling in, I will get to you in just a second. I just want to give you a little bit more to get a little bit ticked off about. So as this progressed, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, was probably one of the most, if you will, during this meeting. They even provided examples of cases that were settled successfully because of this law or because of a model of this law. And then they go on to say, you know, different cases, and actually we're going to talk about some of these cases. One was the 2010 case of a New Jersey county that did not allow their jail officials, their COs, their correction officers, basically, to wear headscarves. All right, and then I'll tell you real quickly that they also have fought for police departments to design appropriate hijabs or headscarves to go with their uniforms. Let me just tell you this. I wore a ponytail the majority of my career, and it was always the concern of my wonderful commanders that, you know, my ponytail would be a device that someone could grab a hold of and then pummel the crap out of me or whatever would happen. So we were taught that you don't wear things that can make it easy for the bad guy to grab onto you. And now a hijab or a headscarf, if you're not familiar with what it looks like, it's a very long piece of material that wraps around your head. Perfect for strangling someone who's wearing it. Do I care? No, not really. But think about that. Then the liability falls back on the police department because you let them wear something that was, you know, harmful to them. All right? Prison setting. You know, I can just envision a CO walking by with her hijab, a prisoner grabbing her through the bars, and essentially they could tie her right to the bar and choke her. You know, I mean, being in law enforcement, I can tell you that these things happen. It's not far-fetched, okay? So that's one of the things. So the jail officials down there decided, though, after the involvement, they called it the involvement of the DOJ, that it was okay to do this. So none of this makes sense to me, but we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
680 to 90-10-4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. I am Kathy Hinners, your host. The number to call in is 718-305-7176. And what I'm telling you about now is how the Department of Justice was involved in this international meeting, giving examples of how they feel they have been effective in what they're doing in this country to this extent, that not even implementing this new resolution, 1618, but how they've been effective or how they feel they've been affected. All right, so the first, effective rather, so the first obviously was about the rules in a prison or a jail changing because the COs wanted to wear a hijab or the headscarf because they say it's part of their religious beliefs and they can't take their headdress off. Okay, whatever. Another case that they brought forward to this international forum was about an Illinois teacher that had been with a school district there for not even a year. She wasn't tenured, nothing, just for a year. And she had asked for 3 weeks of basically of a leave of absence. She didn't say vacation. She said a leave of absence. Well, obviously she was denied. You know, she's been there less than a year. She wants 3 weeks off so that she could make the Hajj. The Hajj is one of the five pillars. It's the fifth of the five pillar. And just to let you know what the Hajj is, it is the pilgrimage to Mecca. And every Muslim is required, if able, but it's better if you can go, to Mecca to have this experience. But it doesn't say when it has to be done by, right? So here she is, she's this job, and she says, well, I have to go to Mecca. You know, it's prime time for me to go, and I want to go. Well, her reasoning didn't fall within the confines or meet the criteria of their union contract that she signed. You know, she didn't go into this job without this. I mean, she became a member of this union, so she knew the rules. But she decided to fight this. And, 3 weeks, are you kidding me? I mean, try to get a Good Friday off for crying out loud. You know, 3 weeks, that's craziness. But that's what she did, and then she went right to CARE in the Department of Justice and sued the school district and won, mind you, even though she did not have to go to the Hajj at that particular time. So that has opened up the door, obviously, for the rights of girls to wear their headscarves to school. And they're also working on, you know, having religious holidays, which I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with them asking for holidays off. That's just something that if you are a religious person, then okay, whatever. The DOJ had quite a few of these examples to show we're wonderful and we get work done because we're a federal agency. They also talked about the fact that the DOJ helps to combat housing and, you know, discrimination with the Fair Housing Act and all these other things. And especially the other law that came out was how effective the DOJ is in helping mosques get built. And I can tell you they're doing a fantastic, ridiculous job of that. Right now there are currently over 2,500 mosques that we know of in this country. And that's a whole other show that we'll probably be talking about is the role of the mosque. So the DOJ, you know, they pointed out that aside from violent crimes against individuals, that federal hate crime laws also cover, you know, the damaging property because of its religious characteristics. All right, fine. Right now there's been several instances of mosques that have burned to the ground. The problem with that is not all of them are being committed by, you know, Joe Schmo. A lot of them are being committed by the congregation themselves. Then they can turn it into a hate crime and hence be victims again. So they kind of wrapped up their whole portion with saying that the need for greater awareness and the capacity for building for victims who don't report these crimes, civil society, law enforcement, judiciary, you name it, all should have part in this law. The regional organizations can assist with training in this regard. This is how they're breaking this stuff down. This is how they're going to implement it. They said that hate crime laws should offer prosecutors sufficient flexibility to pursue cases with mixed motives and to prosecute either the bias-motivated crime or the underlying crime. Are you kidding me? If the bias motive cannot be proven. So they're going to get you one way or the other. This is disgusting. I think it's disgusting. But here's the clincher on this part, and then I'm going to take a call. Crime laws should also protect those without a religious belief, such as atheists. I don't know. I mean, you got to be getting fired up about this one. I mean, this is bizarre. All right, before I go to a call, though, I do have to take a commercial break. So let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline of those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Everybody get up.
Right, welcome back to the Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com, and we are talking about some of the participants in this international meeting that was held back in 2011 with Hillary Clinton and members of the OIC. So, you know, in this huge meeting, we had the Department of Justice, and as we'll talk about in a little bit, the Department of Homeland Security. So that last point, hate crimes should also protect those without a religious belief, such as atheists. Are you kidding me? Okay, we have a caller, and let's go talk to him or her. Hi, you're on Daily Roll Call.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. This is John from upstate New York. How you doing?
I'm excellent, John. You guys got snow tonight?
It's coming down. It's coming down. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. That's excellent. So,
I was listening to you earlier. Were you talking about the law that the great Hillary Clinton signed with the United Nations?
Yes, that's what we're breaking down. And I think you've heard of it.
All these wonderful folks, like the state of Virginia, who voted almost unanimously for President Obama. I hope you all are listening to the show. Because Hillary Clinton's going to be running ill in 16, and you guys are going to be voting for him. for the Clinton
probably
machine.
Yeah.
And then all those folks in Florida who voted for President Obama, all those fine Southern folks that had the wool pulled over their eyes by the Muslim Brotherhood Attorney General, you guys better wake up and smell the coffee, because this country's going downhill fast.
Yeah.
Hillary
Clinton. Hillary Clinton in 16, huh?
Yeah, Hillary Clinton in 16, and Saudi Arabia's be moving into America in 16 and a half.
Yeah, well, they're already moving in. I'm sure you know that. But
how many Christmas trees and how many menorahs do you think you'll find in the city of Dearborn, Michigan tonight? Zero.
Right. You're right. You know, Christmas
folks
is becoming
folks
a
listening class. Probably don't know why that's the case. Can you tell them why?
But yeah, but do you know too that, you know, you speaking out and my speaking out, I guess I'll just see in jail, because that's where this OIC law is headed. So
while the law is not in effect, I can say all I like.
Well,
until
you're right.
Until the freedom of speech, until my Second Amendment rights and my First Amendment rights are not violated yet, but they will be. Remember, anybody want to take a quick guess as to why folks can't buy ammunition? I'm a little loud,
yeah.
And I'm so angry I can't take it anymore.
Well,
so,
and I know that I get you going. I know that. but you know what? I hope you keep listening, because I got a lot more to say. And
I don't know how to start your show, but because you have the Muslim in the White House and the Muslim at the Department of Justice listening to the show, I would love to see you start the show and conclude the show with a Bible verse. Because not only are our rights, which are given to us by God, being infringed upon, but the very idea that we as Christians can worship our God as we so choose is being infringed upon. Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
And unless
right.
you
want to
bang your forehead on the floor five times a day, you better get out that Bible and start reading, because Christ is coming.
There you go. All right. You've said it well, John. And you know what? If you continue to listen, I bet my money that you'll be calling back, because I've got a lot of stuff that's really going to tick you off. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound just really quick before I go. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. It's in the book.
Very good. Very good. Very true. Very, very
yeah.
true. And I do appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. So keep listening, and I'll talk to you in a little bit. All right. Thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye now.
Be well. All right. Bye-bye. All right, so there you go. You know, another person who gets it, who obviously is concerned for what's happening here. So, you know, what are your thoughts? I just told you about, you know, parts of this law that are not in effect yet, but this is what they're molding. And he's right. You know, if she runs in 2016, you know, is this going to be a law that is going to come down very hard and heavy on us? I believe it will. I truly believe that it will. So let's take a little bit more here. You know, we just talked about some of the outline that the DOJ has had the opportunity to present before this international forum. And I just don't, you know, the hate crime thing that protects people without religious beliefs is just absurd. You know, so they can hear me talking about Islam and get ticked off, even though they're not, you know, Islamic or a Muslim, and make a complaint because I offended them, even though they don't have the same belief. That's just completely absurd. And then the other thing that's crazy that came from the Department of Justice was youth engagement. They said that youth engagement is also important. Activities such as, now get this, witnessing mock crimes and assuming the role of customs officers help youth to gain awareness of diverse community concerns and build positive attitudes. These are so far off. This is just nuts. This stuff is crazy. But it gets really better. I mean, this is what your representatives are doing to us as they prepare for the future. Now, the only thing, and I will put this out there, and this should get John going again, is that I don't believe in 2016 that Obama's going to leave office. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that he was put in legally, and I don't think that he will leave at all. I think that he's laying a path right now with all these executive orders that are pretty indicative of what his intentions are. And so I don't believe he'll leave. So if you have something to say about that, call me as well. So as this continues, so I want to continue a little bit with this meeting that happened back in December of 2011. Another thing that happened was another, what they call them participants, they don't refer to them by names. It says the police are the first key law enforcement agents. When an individual trains as a police officer, he or she enlists as a citizen of the country, not as a member of a religion or ethnic group. No kidding. But then they have the mandate to protect everyone. Okay, that's fine. However, law enforcement must be sensitive to religion or to belief. If you're not sensitive to your own religion, why do I need this? I don't understand this. This is just clearly putting police officers in a place they don't necessarily belong. There is standardized training to recognize the needs of the community. Why do we need this for this community? Why do we have to keep going back to the Islamic community? And, you know, if you haven't noticed the trend with the Department of Justice, and I've only given you a few of the examples yet to be talked about in this meeting, they're all Islamic. They're not talking about Catholics. They're not talking about Jews. They're not talking about Mormons. It's all about Muslims. Our friendly local co-pilot and command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There is no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. All right, so we are talking about the OIC and some of the things that took place in this meeting in December of 2011, which is leading up to the implementation of what's called the Defamation of Religion Law, and I already gave you the name of that law once, the official name of it, but it basically is the Defamation of Religion Law, which is a blasphemy law, and we're going to get into that in a second. So here they are, giving examples. The Department of Justice is giving examples as to how they've improved things by, crunching down on people with hate crimes and the whatnot. And then the Department of Homeland Security also is involved in this, and they describe some of their religious sensitivity training that they have for their officials. And they're very proud that, for example, during the Hajj season, a training course for the TSA teaches their personnel to advise passengers to put their holy water in their checked bags because if it's over 3 ounces, it's going to be confiscated. So that's really nice. Hey, check your holy water because if it's over 3 ounces, we're going to have to throw it away. And you know what? I bet they don't. I am willing to bet you that some TSA agent has let more than 3 ounces of holy water, because they probably were told they're going to, heathen hell. So I just can imagine that there has been times. And it's a clear liquid, is it not? So, this whole thing about clear liquids, explosives, come on. It gets crazy. But anyway, that's the TSA, does have this sensitivity training, and everybody's happy, I guess. Law enforcement officer training emphasizes the importance of charity in Islam and highlights the Quranic principles of justices, dignity, and mercy. That's not what law enforcement – this is so not police work. You know, this is just phone-up police work. And then according to the Department of Homeland Security participant, who I'm willing to bet I know who it was, the United States seeks to address its ongoing challenges by striving to pass robust laws and focusing on uniform implementation of the law. So do you see, they're going to implement this law, and now they're training law enforcement and empowering, you know, the civil society to be part of this mechanism that increases the access to justice for these victims, or so-called victims. And this is dangerous. This is so dangerous. And this is what's driving me crazy about the law enforcement. And so before I go too crazy, I am going to take another break.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Everybody get up.
Okay, so I'm feeling a little bit better now, and we still got to get through the rest of this. But you are listening to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Our number to call in, 718-305-7176. I've already had a couple ticked off people, and rightfully so, because you know what? The more I look at this, the more I, you know, it gets under your skin that this administration – I know she's no longer part of the administration, but she probably will at some point be, is trying to just dismantle this, you know, constitution that we have. And this law, this defamation of religion law, is not going to fly because it is freedom of speech, like our caller said. It is, certainly. So we know now that, you know, the Department of Justice is really loving this. And law enforcement is going to be the brunt of it. They're going to be the enforcers. Your local law enforcement is going to be the enforcers. And then, of course, your U.S. attorneys, who we'll speak about in a second. Now, the Assistant Attorney General, for those of you that don't know, his name is Tom Perez. And I want to preface this, you know, he was here. I want to preface this. I want to let you know what he said. He was in the Nashville area. Actually, he was in Murfreesboro at the mosque here. And it's a, you know, for those of you that don't know, it's a very controversial mosque. And he was there, and the comment and I couldn't get it to work, but his comment was, I have your backs, as he was talking to the Islamic community, who they were so concerned, you know, that the challenges that they had faced about building the mosque and how they were victimized all the time and blah, blah, blah. And here he is, the Assistant Attorney General of the United States, telling this group that I've got your back. All right, so that's Thomas Perez. That's who we're talking about now. So he gets up. It's his turn to talk to this international thing, and he starts telling them all of his, you know, his wins, if you will. And he goes on just to say, you know, that yes, there's been this sharp rise in hate crimes against Muslims, and those, including the Arabs and the Sikhs and the South Asians who might not even be Muslims, you know, get it all the time. And then, you know, he goes on just to say that his office is vigorously prosecuting these crimes. I'm not against the prosecution of crimes against people for their beliefs, but in a minute, we're going to start talking about how do you differentiate their beliefs and pure, I almost said a bad word, nonsense, if you will. So Perez goes on to say how they're currently prosecuting a man in the state of Oregon for allegedly setting fire to a mosque there. We don't know that. You never hear the outcome of these arrests. And then he said, this hate-fueled violence will not be tolerated. Well, good for you. Okay, great. And I'm all for that if it's true. They're working on another case to prevent discrimination in employment. The DOJ is currently suing New York City for refusing to allow Sikh men and Muslim women working on bus and subway drivers to wear religious head coverings with their uniforms. It drives me crazy that they need to change the look of uniforms, including our military, by the way. He goes on to say that they also are suing the state of Oklahoma for refusing to allow a Muslim girl to wear a headscarf to school, and they have won that. And then they also won to gather during the lunch hour to pray, and the list just goes on and on and on. But the trend, again, with this guy, as it was in the beginning, is that it is all in the protection of Muslims. Okay, they're not fighting for any other religion. So that lends me to believe, and I think you might agree, that this law is particularly meant to protect Muslims. So that is the DOJ and the Department of Homeland Security's take in the OIC. And so basically, they all gave their best on what they have done and how this law will enable them even further to crack down on anybody who speaks ill of a religion. And I can tell you by the cases that they're talking about so far, it is only Islam. It is not any other religion. So that's a problem, because then we're all shut down. You know, what do you do then? Do you continue to speak out against Islam, or do you go to jail? I mean, you know, we could have a show from jail, I suppose. Not sure. But, you know, this is just not the American way. You know, it doesn't say anywhere that it's against the law to offend you. And the new word is hate. And this is where, you know, we're leading up to this, because this is how they're going to do it. Because now, and CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, by now I hope you know who they are, they're making it known everywhere that they can that there's hate everywhere. Now, instead of just, you know, speech that is not tolerant of them, now it's hate speech. Now, everything that someone speaks out against, and you know what, if you want to say I'm speaking hate, I haven't bashed anybody. I haven't, you know, torn apart Muhammad, who is so sacred to them. You know, I haven't done that. It's not hate. But the other important thing to remember is that it's factual. Everything I write about, everything we talk about, I can back it up with facts. And see, that's the difference. You know, hate speech, you go out there and if you tell lies, you know, if you, you know, just disparage someone and you have no proof of something. But when you come up with the facts, you know, that's too bad. That's just not tolerance anymore. I mean, this is ridiculous. So the latest thing that CARE has grabbed onto, and this was not done in this country, but I suspect there are several of these studies that are being done, not just in this country, but abroad as well. And by the way, the word hate, okay, because the standby dictionary, and you know, we're talking the Merriam-Webster dictionary, defines hate as intense hostility, a very strong feeling of dislike and loathing. Well, I got to tell you, I don't loathe, I don't, you know, have hostility. It's just, I just refuse to acknowledge them anymore. I'm intolerant of them, but I don't hate them. I mean, you know, the majority of, I mean, they're human beings. They just have a really messed up ideology that they want to take us over. But you know what? I don't hate them, and I certainly don't fear them, but I will fight them, and that's the difference. So there is a difference between hate. But this new word, you know, besides, you know, you're a bigot or you're an Islamophobe, which, you know what, I've been called worse, you know, so that doesn't, there's not a whole lot that offends me. But hate is kind of a strong word. But anyway, this new report has come out. It's called The Rising Hate Against Muslims on Facebook. Oh, you Facebook people, you guys are killing me. You know, you're writing all this hate about everybody on your Facebook pages like you ain't got enough, so you just start writing about hate. So the report goes on to say that the proliferation of anti-Muslim hate on Facebook is exposed in a new research by the Online Hate Prevention Institute. And this is an Australian harm prevention charity. You know, I thought the Australians had their crap together, but obviously not. The report examines 50 Facebook pages dedicated to hate. You know, so what's the name of your Facebook page? I mean, is there an I Hate Muslim page, an I Hate Islam? I don't know. Maybe there is. But, you know, Facebook doesn't let me friend over 10 people at a time. So, I mean, I would hate to think that they're allowing hate on their Facebook pages when I'm doing something so stupid. The largest anti-Muslim hate page examined has over 116,000 supporters, and it's growing rapidly. It gained 10,000 supporters in the last 10 days. Yeah. Australians are significantly overrepresented on the largest pages, and 13 of the 50 pages examined are dedicated to the Australian audience. Okay, so they're talking about problems in Australia. But you know what? I'm sure that this study is here somewhere. It just hasn't come out because they were too busy collecting all the names of the Islamophobes in the United States of America. That was the last report that came out. But anyway, this one goes on to say that 191 unique images of anti-Muslim hate, they divide them into 7 categories, and it talks about the public safety threat. See, this is how they're going to get around this stuff. The public safety threat, the cultural threat, the economic threat, demonization, advocating violence against Muslims, and targeting asylum seekers with others. Oh, yeah, don't forget about the immigrant hate. You know, I mean, now we're horrible about that. So this report is online, and it's very interesting, you know, how they go on about Islamophobia is everywhere. Actually, one of the pictures, it's got a bunch of people like in a circle doing like, you know, what kind of dance or whatever. And it says multiculturalism. And then the bottom says Islam will never be part of it. And then their little representative in the circle dancing has a bomb actually strapped to his back. So it's kind of funny. Now, you know, just to say this, you know, I don't believe in hate. Obviously hate is I hate nobody. Hate is not a good thing, but, you know, you have a right, you certainly have a right to dislike people, you know, and the other thing interesting too is if you don't agree with them, then you're hate, and that's just utter nonsense, you know, that's just stupidity. I picked 3 of the most interesting countries, Islamic countries, if you will, that have an interesting penalty for going against their what they call blasphemy laws. Afghanistan, Indonesia, and Iran are just 3 of the top that will kill you. They will kill you for talking about Islam. Crap, I better stop talking about Islam. I better come up with a new show. Sorry. But anyway, that's pretty much where we're at in the first hour. So this is very real. The implementation of the defamation of religion law is on the horizon. 2 years ago, I don't know how far they've come with this, but this was a meeting 2 years ago with the Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, Hillary Clinton, and the rest of the organization talking about how actually to implement this law, even though we have a constitution. So think about that and, get yourself ticked off and give me a call. And we're going to go to break, and we'll be back after this break.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
With Talk Radio News Service, I'm Dylan Garcia. House Speaker John Boehner said today that he's hopeful that Senator Patty Murray and Representative Paul Ryan can come to a budget agreement that will pass both the House and the Senate by the December 13th goal. However, he added that, as of now, there is clearly no agreement between the two sides.
Republicans continue to focus on strengthening the economy for middle-class families. That's why we've passed nearly 150 bills in this Congress. Many of them would help our economy. They're still sitting in the United States Senate.
The Speaker also said that all areas of government will be on the table when it comes to budget cuts.
Paul Ryan came in today, gave us an update on where they were. I'm hopeful that they'll be able to work this out, but there's clearly no agreement. On the farm bill, I've not seen any real progress on the farm bill.
Both sides hope to reach an agreement by that December 13th deadline, the same day that Speaker Boehner plans to adjourn the House for the year. Dylan Garcia, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person. And if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Daily Roll Call. I'm your host, Kathy Hinners, right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. And if you are not getting ticked off, maybe this next story will do this for you. We're talking about a Iraqi war vet. His name is Sean. I'm going to massacre his name. I'll just say Bueno, who's suing to have his license plate. And get this, it is I-C, now you might have to write this down, I-C-U-H-A-J-I, I-C-U Haji. Now, Haji, if you're old enough to remember, Johnny Quest, was the name of the, wasn't it Haji that was in that cartoon? It was Johnny Quest and his good friend Haji. So, you know, whatever. But anyway, that was his license plate that he had had. He had already had him for a while. But his case was just dismissed for a second time by a circuit court judge. Now, this is happening in Virginia. The license plate is deemed offensive and racist towards certain groups such as Arabs and Muslims. Let's just say Sean. Let's call him Sean. Sean's attorney say that it is a First Amendment issue, which obviously it is. They're considering a third appeal this time, possibly with the U.S. District Court. The DMV revoked the plates in 2011. The DMV believes it violates a prohibition on letter combinations that may be interpreted as socially, racially, or ethically offensive or disparaging. The license plate can be read as "I see you, Haji." So what? Haji is often used by U.S. soldiers as a racial slur to describe Muslims or Arabs. Are you kidding me? The word is used by Muslims to address someone who has made the sacred pilgrimage to Mecca or the Hajj. Oh, dear God. You know what? You know, I make myself mad. This is stupid. You know, I mean, I do these stories. I write these blogs. I do this, and I still get ticked off. You know, it just, it amazes me. But I guess when I hear it, it really bugs me. Sean is a former Army sergeant. He lives in Virginia as well, who was honorably discharged back in 2009. He used the plates for more than 4 years before they were revoked. So apparently Muslims weren't upset, you know, before that. What's good to know, though, is that the people in his town are supporting him. And they took a poll in this newspaper that the article came from. More than 70% of the people support him to get his plates back. Well, obviously, you know, I mean, that's just disgusting. Come on. I see you, Hajj. Big deal. Get over it. You know, they need to get over themselves. But that leads into what I discovered as I was doing some research. And I don't even know all the way where this came from. Parts of it I had already addressed. But I found a picture of another car in Virginia whose front license plate reads R4BIA. R4BIA. Well, guess what? R4BIA is the new symbol of freedom and the birth of a new movement for freedom and justice for guess who? The Muslim Brotherhood. So I'm offended. So I want the plate off. Like now, I want those people to remove the plate immediately. All right, so R4BIA now is surfacing everywhere. And what's really interesting about this sign, and you need to start paying attention to this, and it's on my website. So to look at the plate and to look at the symbol that I'm talking about that you need to see, you need to go to dailyrollcall.com. All right, and it's the top story. It's the first story that I did last week, and it talks about Sean's case, and it also talks about, you know, the new movement here with the Muslim Brotherhood within the country. What's repulsive, though, is that the Department of Homeland Security's one of their advisors, and he just got a promotion. His name is Mohammed El-Ibiari, and you might have heard me talk about him before. He is in the Department of Homeland Security. He works for Obama, and he is from Dallas, Texas, and he is a Muslim Brotherhood supporter. And for a very few days, he had the symbol as his profile picture on his Facebook page. And defended it by saying that, oh, that's not what it means. It means peace and justice. And, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't pick up things because they're pretty and because they're nice. So then right around that time, there was an exchange of tweets between El-Ibiari and another gentleman called 1776 Sun. Mohammed El-Ibiari from the Department of Homeland Security states, America, and yes, I do consider the United States of America an Islamic country with an Islamically compliant constitution. Move on. There's your Muslim Brotherhood streak of him coming out. You know, this guy works for our government, and he's one of many that work for the government. But I wanted to get into the R4BIA just a little bit and then get into, you know, a little bit about who El-Ibiari is. you can go to their website. They have an actual website, the r4bia.com, and you can see what they deem as what this all means. And basically, the r4bia just basically means that it's people that were martyred during the military coup that took place July of 2013, when the military took over and threw out Morsi. Morsi was obviously the elected president, but who is Muslim Brotherhood. So there was another rally or riot or whatever you want to call it. Now, it wasn't really a riot, but it was a rally in the square. It's called Rabia Square. Let's just shorten it down to that. So the Egyptian people who wanted to reclaim their beliefs, their freedoms, future, and the votes they cast for the first elected president in Egypt, they launched this resistance on the 20th of June in Rabia Square. So Rabia means four or fourth in the Arabic language. The name of the square comes from a blessed lady among the pious servants of Allah. She received the name Rabia because she was the fourth child in the family. And they say, we use the sign to cherish her legacy. The second reason why the sign bears significance is the fact that Mohamed Morsi was the fourth president of Egypt after Gamal Nasser, Anwar Sadat, and Hosni Mubarak. They say, we make the sign to remind people of the presidency. And this is kind of interesting. It says the difference that the people that support the military coup, the people that are in power right now, prefer the V sign, like the peace sign with two fingers. And they say they cannot be the same as those people, so we use and spread the Rabia sign in order to distinguish ourselves from them. The pro-military coup people use like the peace sign, two fingers. The pro-Morsi sign, the R4bia is four fingers. So it's someone holding up four fingers with their thumb crossing their palm. It's usually a black hand and on a yellow square. So that is a symbol, that is the true symbol of the Muslim Brotherhood. Those are the people that actually support what is happening right now. All right, so let me take a quick break here. All of us at Conservative Nation Media are proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve Music and Kids Extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American Christmas music live or download it to listen when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. And you can only get it from our website, conservativenationmedia.com. Don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website or go to santaclaus@conservativenationmedia.com, and Santa will send back a personalized email within 48 hours. From all of us at Conservative Nation Media to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening. And that is really cool. You need to have your kids send a letter to Santa Claus and get answered. That's really, really cool. I like that. Maybe I'll write to Santa Claus. Maybe not. All right, so we're talking about the R4bia symbol. And on their website, what you can actually look up is what it means. And they've collected what they feel from all different kinds of Muslims and things, what they feel this symbol stands for. And I'm not going to read you every single one, but they say it means justice, freedom, and conscience. And then it says, is the place where the so-called values of the West collapsed. Means the Egyptian heroes who became free by dying. Some of the other interesting ones is justice for everyone against rotten Western values. Okay, so this is, you know, this isn't too un-American. R4bia is the tear, the sadness, the sobbing. Is a man like a man, is a pure martyrdom, is a new world, is solidarity, is unification of the Islamic world, is the shame of the accomplice of the massacres, and the last one that I'll read to you is another un-American, is the end of capitalists. And they go on, there's several more definitions. But is the arena of martyrdom, is the mother of martyrs, and is a smiling martyrdom. So clearly very un-American and clearly pro-martyrdom. So that's, you know, that again is Muslim Brotherhood agenda. So this clown here, Mohammed Elibiari, has this logo on his Twitter and on his Facebook page, and, you know, that's supposed to be normal. So he did have it on there for quite a few days. You know, we watched it on there, and we watched his back and forth with people, you know, who were trying to tell him what it really meant and, you know, all this other stuff. So he gets into these matches with people and tries to say how it's his right anyway. But you know what? He's Muslim Brotherhood. That's proof and par for the course, of course. So before I go on, because I want to get into who he is and what he believes, we're going to take a quick break.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I am Kathy Hinners, your host. And now we're talking about some of the Muslim Brotherhood operatives in the White House and the new symbol, the R4 Bia symbol, which everyone should be looking for. And we're going to take a quick call here. We're going to go to, let's see here. We got a couple calls here. We're going to go to Ron from Georgia. How are you, Ron?
I'm mad as hell. How does that work on this radio station?
That works well with me.
I'm telling you, you know what you were talking about a few minutes ago. When Kelly up in New York had spies go into the mosque in New Jersey and surrounding areas, and he was getting a lot of usable information out of that. And they've denied them doing that. They can't do that anymore. Am I wrong?
You're correct. They cannot do that anymore. And
that's
Ray Kelly
the
is out.
Thing you've ever heard. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've always been impressed with is the ones that flew into the towers up there in New York, there weren't any Baptists up there. There wasn't any Catholics. There wasn't any Mormons. There wasn't any traditional Americans. There wasn't even any fringe groups that flew those planes into the Trade Center. It was Muslims. I mean, do you have to take, do you know what you have to do to a mule to get his attention? You write what you want the mule to learn on a two before, and then smack him upside the head with it, and he gets it. Is that what we're going to have to do to the government?
Not even the government, because they're all part of it. So I think we're going to have to do that to a lot of people whose heads are in the sand.
It's crazy,
police,
is it not?
Yeah, it is. We have
the ability to be able to tell when these people are going to hit us, and we close our eyes so we can't hear it. It's like the rules of engagement over in Afghanistan. There's no way for the American soldier to operate over there and win. We have to wait until we find out for sure whether they're shooting at us. It's the craziest thing you've ever heard.
It absolutely is crazy, but, you know, it won't change because we have Muslim Brotherhood in the White House. We've got Eric Holder, who's upholding, you know, all the changes that they wish to make. So we're not going to win this unless we actually start getting more people to fight it. You know, it's all about exposing at this point. So we need people to be aware of what's happening, Ron, you know, and get angry.
You know what my biggest wish is? Last weekend, I think it was, over in Kiev, when they had that big protest over there against their government backing away from the European Union, they had 3,500 people out in the street protesting. We need 3,500 people out in the street in New York and Washington, D.C., and L.A. and Atlanta, all of the larger places. We need to have a mass of people out there telling them we're fed up. We're not going to take this anymore. If we did that, the government would fall in place. They would be
scared to death.
Well,
at least they'd know. They would know that people mean business. I mean, right now, you know, everybody's too complacent. Everybody's like, somebody else will either do it, or, you know, we're just going to, you know, hope that it goes away. So you're absolutely right, Ron. And I'm not done making you mad. I'm sure by the time I'm done talking about this guy, that this one clown that's in the White House. So I appreciate your call, Ron, and hopefully you'll stay around and listen to the rest of the show.
Here I am. I'm listening.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Thanks for calling.
You too.
All right. So that's, you know, that's the way it should be. You know, you need people to get angry and to say enough is enough, you know, and you know, Ron was one of the callers the night that we talked about where is your line, and he's right. Until people start coming out in masses, Lord knows they can get a crowd of people, but we just can't seem to get it. You know, we get maybe 200, 300 at a meeting, and they're able to draw thousands to their meetings. So we need to start showing that we are not going to take this anymore. So we got another caller. We'll head over to the phones here and say hello. You are on Daily Roll Call.
Hey, Kathy. It's Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I'm listening to your show, and I was you and I are both familiar, and I'm sure some of your other listeners are very familiar with Dr. Warner. And my wife and I, several months ago, purchased some of his literature, and one of the ones that we did was Sharia for Non-Muslims. Are you familiar with that?
Absolutely. Yes, I am. One of my first books as well.
There were the Islamic religion, if that's what you want to call it. We could use their religion against them, actually, as far as the political portion of it anyway. We don't have to accommodate, and I'm paraphrasing from Dr. Warner, we don't have to accommodate their demands. And if we choose not to, if we just say no, then, you know, the fact that they have to pray five times, well, if they don't get this, we say no, they don't get to pray at the first, say, like the first two or three times, then they can make those prayers up later. And we don't have to give in. We do not have to give in. Just because we give in, just because we say no, then we're saying no to the political portion of Islam, not the religious portion. Mm-hmm. They have the right to practice their religion. But when it encroaches over to changing our laws or violence, that's where we have to say no. And we have that right. They cannot use the freedom of religion when it comes to that portion of it, the political portion. They can't use that. So all we have to do is use their own religion against them when it comes to those types of things. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely I do. And I totally agree. But it's getting that movement going, because I do agree. And I've heard Dr. Bill Warner speak before, and I think anyone across the country that has an opportunity to listen to him needs to listen to him, because he explains it very much like you did, in that it can be turned around, but they're so steadfast and we're so hard-headed with thinking that it's just the religion, that a lot of people don't see where it is the political way of life, that it is, in fact, a dualistic political ideology and not necessarily a religion. And so, I'm over calling it a religion, because I just don't believe in it anymore. I think that it was a convenient way to come into the country and to use our own freedoms against us. And I think a lot of the things is kind of funny, because a lot of the things they've taken from the Jewish religion. You know, the Jews pray three times a day, so they up them, and I'm praying five times a day. So I have my issues with believing that it's a religion. Exactly, you know, but you're right about they don't have to pray five times a day, but yet, you know, you'd be going to hell if you did not let them pray five times a day. But people need to understand that they don't, just like that teacher didn't have to go to Hajj that year, you know, with a year under, or not even a year under her belt, and she wants 3 weeks off, you know. But again, who wants to be, what, you know, school district or law enforcement agency or any employer wants to be in the front headlines, you know, Islamophobe, you know, whoever, for not allowing this to happen. And unfortunately, that part of it works. So
yeah,
until we get more people, like, you know, nobody wants to be called those names. I mean, I don't care. You don't care. But, you know, some people do.
Yeah, we can't be afraid to say the word no. You know, we just don't have the right – we don't have the right people in the right positions saying the word no. It's a simple word, N-O.
And you've had the occasion to use it to a school district, I'm sure. And, you know, I have told a director of the Rutherford County School District in you know, basically just say no, because CARE is going to come in whether you want them to or not. So if they say, well, we're going to sue you because you said no, they're going to do it anyway. So hold on to your principles, your values, for crying out loud. Stick up for your country, you know, and say no and mean it, and try to do what you can do to not let them come in. But unfortunately, either it's the money or the fear, you know, that people have of being called out. And until people get over that fear of being called names or whatever it is, losing their job and losing money, and I do understand that to a point, but you're not going to have that job if we continue down the road anyway. So it doesn't make sense. But I appreciate you calling in, Mike. Good to hear from
you.
No
problem. I just wanted to share that with you. Enjoy the show.
Well, thank you. All right, thank you. All right, so like Mike is saying, you know, until we actually can say no, and I don't know that a lot of people in a lot of different positions can say no, but he's absolutely right. You know, the whole Sharia law thing, there is basically a separation of a Muslim person, of the religious person, if you will. And I guess I do believe, not so much in the religion of it, I've said that I don't believe that, but I do believe that there are people with beliefs that fall in line with that ideology, and I'm sure they're fine. You know, they're God-loving people, but it's the ones that say that their God is the only God and is the dominant God that I have the problem with. It's not even a problem anymore. It's just a matter of when we're going to wake up and what we're going to do. You know, whether it's World War III or whatever, you're going to have to just bring it on. So, you know, talking about how entrenched this White House is, you know, we got Mohammed El-Libiari. Again, you know, the guy's from Dallas, and he's risen up through the ranks of Homeland Security. And he is a cleric, and he, this is what, again, gets me, he was the founder of a kind of like a crisis security consulting firm down in Dallas, and he actually worked for the Texas Department of Public Safety. And so he was involved with law enforcement. He did a lot of training for law enforcement. And then he managed to release some sensitive documents to the media and was chastised. Actually, he was suspended from the Department of Public Safety for doing that. So, you know, he saw these sensitive documents, released them to the media because he wanted to prove that this Texas organization or that this agency had bias. So he had the proof, and he contacted a media person, a journalist, and said, "Let's do this story." You know, he had the proof. So should have been in jail for that, you know, for releasing sensitive documents. But he not only not is in jail, he's in the White House. So this guy, Mohamed Elibiari, is also, which is really amazing, is a admirer of the Ayatollah Khomeini. So that should speak volumes right there. But he was found to be speaking at a fundraiser or just an event in 2004, anyway, in remembrance of this Ayatollah Khomeini. And when asked later about, you know, why he was doing that, he said, "Oh, I didn't know what the agenda was going to be. I just was there and, you know, thought that I should speak while I was there." So, you know, he's pretty cool. In 2006, he co-founded the North Texas Islamic Council, which coordinates a lot of activities with the mosques, Islamic schools, and the whatnot. Before we go any further, I got to take a quick break here. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There's nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their guest service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did. And we will be back in a few minutes.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person." I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Thank you.
Daily Roll Call with Kathy Hinners on conservativenationmedia.com. Our phone number is 718-305-7176. We are talking now about a member of the Muslim Brotherhood that is currently in the White House in the form of the Department of Homeland Security. I've told you that he is from Texas. He is from Dallas, Texas. He worked prior for the Texas Department of Public Safety. He had his hand in training law enforcement while he was in that position. He is an admirer of the late Ayatollah Khomeini. Back in 2006, he is also a defender, and he had stated this on, I believe it was on television, or to the Dallas Morning News, that he is a supporter, basically, of Saeed Khattab. Saeed Khattab wrote a book called Milestones, which is also used by your radical Muslims. They also hand this book out with the Quran in prisons, a very radical book. Saeed Khattab hated the United States of America. He himself was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And you've got Mr. Eli Biare basically saying that I'd recommend everyone read Khattab, but read him with an eye to improving America, not just to be jealous with malice in our hearts. So, you know, you got a guy here who's saying to have another Muslim Brotherhood member improve America. Back in 2010, Obama and his Department of Homeland Security appointed Eli Biare to the Advisory Council. Okay, so now you got the Muslim Brotherhood advising on Homeland Security matters. And let's see, then it was just recently in September of 2013 that he was promoted to Senior Advisory of the Advisor Council. Wow, a title held only by a small number of select members. So this, you know, he's a favorite. There's no doubt about it. But again, you know, he's bragging about the R4Bia sign, which he says is a religious sign, which obviously it is not. It's the Muslim Brotherhood logo. And you know what's interesting about the R4Bia, and what really ticked me off, was it was very prevalent in the Thanksgiving Day parade. Now, whether you were there or if you were watching on TV, you might have seen it and not know what it was. But it was outrageous. There was a huge contingency there of Morsi supporters, Muslim Brotherhood supporters, right in New York City at the parade. And they have on my website, dailyrollcall.com, I have some of the pictures from the parade that were taken. There's one of a clown that's giving the R4Bia sign. They have a police officer on a horse that is giving the sign. So it was pretty prevalent. It was all over the place. And it's disturbing to see not just a handful of people, but a lot of people. And if you go to their website, if you go to the r4biawebsite.com, you'll see several pictures of their demonstrations throughout this country, big ones. I mean, they manage to get, just like I said at their conferences, you know, we get 200-300 people, they get thousands of people. So we need to step it up a little bit. So we got Eli Biare here. And what's really great is what's even tied him further to the Muslim Brotherhood is the fact that we have found not only the 990 tax form from CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, but we've also found that he was the co-chairman of the board back in, I believe it was 2003, of CARE. So, you know, this clown can say all he wants that he has nothing to do with the Muslim Brotherhood, when in fact we have just found out that he did work for CARE. CARE is an Islamist Muslim Brotherhood terrorist organization. They fund Hamas. They are basically Hamas. So that is a Muslim Brotherhood organization. And so, you know, he's worked for them before, even though he says he hasn't. And you know, he's holding a very high position within the Department of Public Safety and now the Department of Homeland Security. So, and he has his hands in law enforcement training all the time. So, you know, this is something that is, you know, what can we do about it? You know, I mean, he's working for a president that needs to go, basically. He needs to be recalled or arrested for treason, you know, whatever it takes. All right, so talking now about CARE, and I think this is going to be the final thing that we're going to be able to talk about tonight. But I guess, you know, when you look at what we're talking about here, when you look at the scope of things and you have a group of people who have said to you, we are religious people, we are followers of the religion of Islam, all we want to do is live in this country. A lot of them were born here, but all they want to do is pray and live their life. Well, I guess what bothers me about that statement, and they say this repeatedly, you know, they have a right to be here, but, you know, they just want to live their life. They just want to be part of America. But here are a few examples of what CARE does. And then you be the judge as to why a religion has such a need to be such a driving force in the arena, the political arena and every other arena in this country. So CARE here, and all you have to do is go to their website, and you can just see, amazingly, everything is an issue with CARE. Everything is an issue with CARE. Allegations of racism by Grouse Pointe Park Police demand action. The right to pray at work. DHL has let several workers go because they all walked off the line at a certain time to go pray. California High School under fire after the Arab mascot makes an appearance. Now, you got to see this mascot. It's nothing more than a really nasty-looking old man. He doesn't look like anything else, but, you know, he has a scarf on his head, so they are saying that he's, you know, an Arab. Another high school, because their football team is called the Moors, they came under fire with a logo, the logo that looks like a caricature, okay? It's not even a real thing. It's a caricature of a scowling, dark-skinned man with two swords. That's offensive. To a Muslim, that's offensive. Wait, before I go on, I just want to tell you that America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Olpowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Olpowski, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And that is exactly what we're talking about. So we need to really pay attention to Matthew's show. You know, this is the very freedoms that are biting us in our own butts. All right, so back to CARE. So far we've got, you know, the picture of the caricature of the scowling dark-skinned man and the Arabic-looking mascot. Then a woman was turned away from donating blood because she wouldn't remove her headscarf. Police officers are demanding to wear hijab, so they're designing hijabs that go with the uniform, demanding halal foods and medications in prisons. Now, you might wonder what a halal medication is. Muslims purportedly cannot have anything that has pork products or pork byproducts, and a lot of medicines have that gel. And that is usually a form of Jell-O, which comes from pork products. So, you know, now they're demanding for not just the food, but for the medication. And these are prisoners, you know, that are having this issue. Let's see, another here we got who states that he was, this cabbie, this is really funny. This cabbie, in, I believe it was in Virginia, stated he was viciously attacked. And it turns out several weeks later they investigated and they found out that he made the story up. But CARE still wants an investigation. It doesn't matter that the guy lied and made it up. CARE wants it investigated. They're demanding to be included in prayers for government meetings. They are saying that, you know, pretty much everything that we do, they want their holidays for schools. They want their Hajj. They want time to go to the Hajj. And the list just goes on and on and on. But the point is that for a group of people who are so adamant that they're only here for one reason, and that's to pray, think about why do they need to force themselves in every nook and cranny of society. I don't believe that they're not looking to take over. As a matter of fact, the co-founder of CARE, Omar Ahmed, stated, "We are not here to be part of any religion. We are here to dominate other religions." And that also was what the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood had stated, that Islam is the dominant religion. So think about that, and we'll be back after this break.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
All right. Welcome back. As we wrap up the last 15 minutes, this is Daily Roll Call with your host, Kathy Hinners, here on conservativenationmedia.com. We got about 13 minutes left to finish up on a little bit of Muslim Brotherhood action going on in the White House. We've talked about the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and the blasphemy law, because that's what it is. It's a blasphemy law. They want to call it the defamation of religion law. But it is blasphemy against a religion of Islam. We broke that down a little bit. And now we're talking about CARE and how a group of people have, you know, have just flat out stated that they're here just like we are. This is their country. They love their country. But yet every single thing is an issue. Every single thing is a lawsuit. And they are determined to make you know about their religion or whatever you want to call it. Their way of life, their political way of life. I know of no other group that does this or has done this or is doing this other than them. So to continue on just a little bit with CARE and why CARE is dangerous is that the Department of Justice has what's called the Community Relations Services. And if you get a chance, go on the DOJ website, and this will kind of get you going too. They have the civil... They have a civil division, and then there's the Community Relations Services division. They are considered to be peacemakers for community conflicts and tensions. What's interesting about them is that they are going into schools. They're going into public schools throughout the country. They were in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 2 years ago with a group called Connecting Cultures. And why I'm bringing this up again is Connecting Cultures does the training, sensitivity training for CARE. So you have to be mindful of this group. If you've got the DOJ coming into a public school, you know what? There should have been such an outrage with that school district, but it didn't happen. You know, people were mad for a minute, and that's the problem. People are not mad. But if the Department of Justice sends what they call their peacemakers into your public school, you better know why. What do you need to be coming into my school for? You, the Department of Justice, what problems could we possibly be having? So Connecting Cultures conducts all of the sensitivity training for CARE. And one of the most recent lawsuits that happened was just simply a woman went into Abercrombie and Finch, the retailer for young people, and was denied the job because she said that she would not remove the hijab for work, and that it was her belief and that, you know, she just wasn't going to do it. So from what I understand, the manager said to her, well, then perhaps this particular retailer is not for you. You know, there's a million other places to go, but we have a specific look of the people that work here. They have to fit the criteria. And, you know, if you're not willing to do that, then maybe this isn't the place for you. Well, of course, CARE sued them and sued them for money this time. CARE doesn't always sue for money. They sue to perform diversity training for the remainder of the company's existence. Another example of what CARE has done and what Connecting Cultures has stepped in on to do their training is Nike. It's been more than a few years ago, but Nike had designed a sneaker that on the back, on the heel of it, had what appeared to be a like a flame, if you will. And sure enough, a Muslim group got offended and said that, oh, it looks like the symbol of Allah. So Nike had to redo the sneaker. They had to stop production of that sneaker. And their penance to have Connecting Cultures give them diversity training on how to be sensitive towards Islamic art. Are you kidding? Okay, so anyway, they got rid of the sneaker. Puma sneaker just recently has had a problem. The same thing. They said that there was a symbol written somewhere in amongst all the other writing that looked like the symbol of Allah, and it was offensive. Do you know what you would have to do? I looked at the picture of this Puma sneaker. There's no way. There's just no way. But anyway, all right, so that's one thing. Now, if you remember, Burger King used to have this ice cream cup, and on the lid to it, it had like a swirl of ice cream. Well, guess who got offended at that and said that it looked like the symbol of Allah? Who else but CARE? So Burger King had to get rid of their lid, their design for their ice cream scoop, which really, when you looked at it, it was like a swirl of ice cream. You know, soft ice cream is kind of swirly, and that's what it looked like. But somewhere in their messed up minds, they saw the symbol for Allah. Okay, so that's just another one. They have sued Disneyland for an employee, a young woman, refusing to wear a cowboy hat. And they offered her a position. She had worked for Disney for a few years, so she knew that she had to be the character in the restaurant that she was hostessing for. She was supposed to wear a cowboy hat. Well, then a couple of years after she'd already been there, she finds Islam, and shows up with a hijab, and they're like, well, you know what the contract says. So they couldn't fire her. They even offered her a position, another better position somewhere else within the compound of Disney, and that wasn't good enough. So CARE, again, got involved in suing Disney. And the list just goes on and on. But if you go to their website, if you go to CARE.com, you will see all the things that offend them, and it's a constant barrage of things that offend them. It's just really, really kind of off the hook. I am going to switch over, and we're going to end this by talking to Robert Garding, who I think is still on the line here. Robert, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I've
okay,
been listening to your show. Well, it's icy right now, but it stopped snowing where I'm at.
Well, that's encouraging anyway. So what do you got going for your show tomorrow?
Well, several of the things that several of your callers brought up about how America won't change until the voters wake up and stop voting these people into office, I've got a different take on that one, because tomorrow's show is on the 7th of December, so it's being done for the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And I've downloaded a whole bunch of era music, and I'm going to use that for my bumper music for tomorrow. And I've got some it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Well, I'd like to see more people, you know, pay attention to these shows that are on the Constitution, because I think it's really it's something that we need to maybe study a little bit more and be more up on what exactly is happening in this country and how we can protect ourselves. You know, so I think, you know, by listening to like your show, they'd get ideas about this, and that's probably what we all need to do, is to learn how to stop this from happening, you know? So I totally agree with you. And I'll be listening tomorrow. I don't always get to listen completely to the whole show, but I do like your show. And I believe you're on at 4 p.m. Eastern. I think that's what your show is at. Is it 4 p.m.?
4 p.m.
Eastern, and it's to 6, right? So that's 4 Eastern, 3 Central, and that is the New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, and that can be heard Saturdays. So I would encourage everyone to listen to Robert, and I thank you for listening to mine, and I'll be listening to you tomorrow, and be safe in the snow, would you?
Oh, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I'm going to send the kids out to play in it tomorrow.
Good for you. All right, Robert. Listen, you have a good evening.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks. All right, so we got about 2 minutes left of the show here, and we're going to just do a quick wrap-up. You've been listening to Daily Roll Call. The website to go to get some more information on any of the topics we spoke about this evening is dailyrollcall.com. I can also be found on Facebook. Feel free to friend me. Facebook keeps spanking me because, you know, I'll friend some people, and then they say, oh, you've gone crazy and you're friending people. I don't know how that's possible. And I've emailed them several times to say, you know, what's your problem? I'm friending people. But anyway, so feel to friend me, Daily Roll Call, on Facebook as well. And we've had some great calls this evening, a lot of people voicing their dissatisfaction with what's happening as far as this stupid idea of a blasphemy law. And, you know, I think in ending this, I think that it's going to be a very scary time over the next few years for us in this country. And whatever it takes, whether Ron had said it takes a 2x4, whatever it takes to wake someone up, a family member or a coworker, whatever it takes, show them a movie, show them Losing Our Sons or The Grand Deception, or the Third Jihad, whatever it takes to make people see that we are in trouble. And if it continues for the next, well, we've got this guy for the next 3 years, unless somebody has the cojones to arrest him for treason, we're in trouble. If we continue down this road, we'll never get it back again. And I don't think young people either are quite aware of what is happening, that their rights eventually, they're going to be the ones wearing the burqas and the hijabs, you know, the younger generation. And so they need to know this. They need to be aware of this. So I would just say, you know, tell people whatever it is you need to tell them to wake up. Watch what's going on in your schools. Pay attention to what your kids are talking about. And on that note, I thank all my callers. I thank all my listeners. Please keep up the emails. I can be found at dailyrollcall.com. Just hit contact me and email me what you'd like to hear about on the show or any questions from this show. And that is what I based this show on, was from emails. So please keep those coming. And we will be talking to you again next Friday. Have a safe week. Be careful in the snow and the ice out there. And God bless, and we'll see you next Friday.